Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Our scripture reading today comes from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 of the Common English Bible. Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love. And make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit. Just as God also called you in one hope, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. God has given his grace to each one of us, measured out by the gift that is given by Christ. That's why scripture says, when he climbed up to the heights, he captured prisoners, and he gave gifts to people. What does the phrase "he climbed up" mean if it doesn't mean that he had first gone down into the lower regions, the earth? The one who went down is the same one who climbed up above all the heavens so that he might fill everything. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. His purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ. Until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son, God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. As a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer, who can be tossed and blown around by every wind that comes from teaching with deceitful scheming and the tricks people play to deliberately mislead others. Instead, by speaking the truth with love, let's grow in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body grows from him as is joined and held together by all the supporting ligaments. The body makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love as each one does its part. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of scripture. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Pastor Harold Long. Welcome to those who are online if you're listening on demand. First thing, I would encourage you to pull out your lesson plan because this is going to be what we're going to go through for our service today. And there's a reason why I use lesson plans, and it's because it helps you engage and remember the message more than you would just by hearing. And we're going to talk about that today as we prepare ourselves really for the next 6 weeks that we go through this message on 40 days of prayer. And if you're listening online, you can go to our website and you can go under bulletins and lesson plans, and you can download the lesson plan and also the bulletin for today. The bulletin on your right-hand side at the top has reflection questions for you to reflect on for your personal self or with your spouse, your family, or a small group. Just a great way to have conversations around prayer and all that we're going to talk about today. And so we're going to get into that in our message big time. Before we start, because Lila is our little liturgist, if you would, over at HUMC. She's downstairs this morning, but she would, when she is a liturgist, she always starts with, "Do you want to hear a joke?" And so it's a pirate joke. And the pirate joke, do you know how pirates start all their prayers? Anybody? "Our Father, who art in heaven." Boo. You guys will use that before the day is over with. But if you have your lesson plan, the title of today's message is, "Do You Really Want to Grow Up?" And that's a fair question. I mean, from a spiritual standpoint, and I know most of you very well here. Almost everybody sitting here I know pretty well. And you're a mature Christian. And if you're listening online, if you're new to Christianity or you're just new to your faith, maybe not so much. But if you've been around a while, the expectation from Jesus especially is that you're on your way, that you're fully engaged in your Christian walk. You've taken responsibility for your Christian development and your personal growth in Christ. And so the title of today's message is, Do You Really Want to Grow Up? And this is really what's behind the Spiritual Growth Campaign. We haven't done a real campaign because of COVID. We came in July 2020. We weren't even really meeting at that time. And just with the ups and downs and trying to maneuver our way through what that season of time would look like, you know, we really didn't get into a growth campaign. But I'm big on growth campaigns in the spring and in the fall. And so this is our spring growth campaign that will take us all the way up to Easter, with a few weeks separated with different things that we'll be doing. But for the most part, this is going to be it, followed by a small group study that will help really engage this material, plus your own personal devotion, your own reflection. And if you really lean into it, it'll make a big difference in how your life turns out. It'll make a big difference in how your prayer life turns out. Because of the size and because of the lack of a full team behind us, we lean on a lot of our friends around the country for their resources. This is a Saddleback resource from Saddleback Church, the largest Christian church in the United States for sure. Campuses all over the place. And they do a great job with their team, their staff, and their resources to give us some really useful tools that we can benefit from. And so that's what we're doing with this growth campaign. We're going to utilize 40 Days of the Prayer, written by Saddleback's team, Rick Warren and the lead, but a whole team of people that have poured into this study that I think will make a big difference for all of us and how our lives turn out. In your handout there, the very first scripture you see, it's hard to see on the screen, and I apologize if you can't see it that well, but it's in your bulletin, your handout, another reason why I like to do handouts. And it says this, and Pam read it for us today. It says, we are not meant to remain as children, and you can see that's underlined in your handout, at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching. Instead, we are meant to hold firmly to the truth of love and to grow up in every way into Christ. That's the expectation. It's not about, hey, I just come and I get saved and I know my eternity's in heaven. But it's to mature for a reason, for a purpose, so God can live God's life through you. And so you can have the best life possible in this earthly experience, but also eternal life. And there's purpose for that. So a great inventory question is, you know, where are you on the spiritual scale? Where are you committed? What are you doing to grow other than just coming to church and your stuff? What are the things you're doing? And a big part of it is prayer. And if I ask everybody, who here has just got it all figured out when it comes to prayer? Nobody's going to raise their hand. Because it's something that we're always going to be growing in understanding and effectiveness as it relates to prayer and meditation and reflection, etc. And so this hopefully this series really helps us. We're going to talk about six laws of spiritual growth today. And here's the first one. We grow when we feed on God's Word. We grow when we feed on God's Word. You've heard me share Mother Teresa's quote often. But her quote is simply this. You got to remain green. Why? Because green things are growing. You got to be prepared. And that takes honesty. It takes open-mindedness. And it takes a willingness and a humility to be your own best coach or fan when it comes to your spiritual development. I mean, you have to take charge for your life. You're responsible for a big part of your spiritual development. And so we're going to talk about those six laws today. But the first one is we grow when we feed on God's Word. Matthew 4:4, and you see this here on the slide, but also in your handout. Jesus says, and I quote, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God, end quote. And the Apostle Paul puts it like this. The word of grace is able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for his people. There's lots of ways in these six laws and that we're going to talk about, you'll see spread out. But how do we grow and feed on God's words? And you see it listed there in your handout. First is by hearing. You come to church. And you hear the word, you hear the proclamation, or you watch it on TV, or you listen to it on Bop Radio, or 91.5, or Joy FM. Whatever you listen to, or YouTube, you listen to messages, you listen to podcasts. There's lots of them. There's thousands of them. We have Faith Life subscription. If you don't have Faith Life app, download it. You can sign up for free as part of our membership. And you have access to Logos, the greatest Bible software on the planet. You have access to a lot of other resources right through that one application. But you can hear, you can go on to Faith Life TV as part of our membership and listen and watch movies and documentaries and studies and countless preachers from all around the world, male, female, all different denominations, genres, etc. And so the resources, we have plenty to hear God's word. But the problem with hearing anything is you're only going to remember about 5 or 10% of it. It's just the truth of it. You come, and then to come Wednesday, the only thing you really remember from Sunday is the pirate joke. You know what I'm saying? It's just what happens. It's just what happens. And so hearing is part of it, but then we need to read. And the Bible is hard to read because it's not a book you read, it's a book that reads you. So unless you're really hungry to grow, you're probably not going to read the Bible. It's going to make a nice dust cover or a coaster, or it just looks good in your coffee table or on your library, but you don't really read it. You don't really study it. So reading it's important. To study it, and to study it, we can do self-study, of course. If you have the Bible app, which YouVersion puts out, it's a wonderful app. Thousands of different Bible studies you can do. You can go along. You can invite people to go on those journeys with you. You can do them in private. So many resources today, it's not funny to get into the Word. But it's easy not to do. And there's many sitting here, many listening online, that aren't doing any of that. And the question is, why? Because what I know for sure in my own personal life is that the Bible will keep the dark side out of your life, but the dark side will keep you out of the Bible, I can promise you. And if you're not in the Word of God on a regular basis, on your own, in private, I mean, it's great. Susie and I spend 30, 40 minutes every morning going through devotions and doing different things together. But aside from that, what are you doing on your own to be in the Word of God? And all of us need to be doing that. So that's another part of that, is to study. Part of it is to memorize. If you need help memorizing, see Pam. She can help you with that. She's got a great memory. And she can memorize Scripture. But it is. I mean, just having it that you can just call, whether it's a joyous occasion, whether it's a hardship, just being able to call out Scripture, just remember Scripture, even if you just have to paraphrase it, is important. So memorizing Scripture, knowing what God's Word says, is important. Meditate. And what does it mean to meditate? Well, there's lots of ways to do it, but the old Western tradition of meditation comes from an old cattle term. It means to ruminate. It means to... It's like chewing a cud, a cow chewing a cud. They regurgitate it over and over and over again until they zap all the juices out of it. And so meditate, really, in a Western context, is meditate on the Word. Just like Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 both say, meditate on the law, meditate on God's Word day and night. So it's something that should go throughout our day. It's not like it's 24/7, but it's easy to do your readings in the morning and then maybe take a highlight from that and look at it again at noon and maybe again before you go to bed. But just ruminating on God's Word. And it's a really great way to go to sleep, actually, is to sit and just read a devotion or Scripture and just lay down so you try to shut the noise off in your head. And not to, then you just bring the world and whatever went on in the day to bed with you, trying to go to sleep. It's a great way to go to sleep versus counting sheep. And lastly, is application. When we close out Scripture readings, we say, may God bless your hearing, your understanding, and your application of Scripture. That we're actually trying to live this stuff out. So we're taking what we're learning and we're going to go apply it in our life one day at a time, doing the best that we can. Action step is a daily time with God for the next 40 days. That's your encouragement for the next 40 days, is be committed to yourself, to be in God's Word every day. However you choose it. The workbook that I'm telling you to get, if you haven't got it, please order it. But if you use that, it's going to give you something to meditate on and reflect on for the next 40 days as we go through this. But there's also YouVersion app, the Faith Life app, Faith Life TV. So many resources out there to get into God's Word. So it's not like just cracking the Bible. The temptation for a lot of people, especially at the New Year's, I'm going to go read the whole Bible this year. And there's 1,000 plans out there. And then you get going, you get good to about February. And you really get into Leviticus and Numbers and all that, and your eyes crossed, and you don't know what's going on, and you get discouraged, and you quit. Right? Let's just be real. It's hard to do. But if you can get into a focused, more narrow stream of studying God's Word, it's important. And so doing that's really, really going to make a difference in your life. Point two, we grow when we learn in different ways. Luke chapter 3, verse 18 says this, and I quote, in many different ways, John preached the good news to the people, end quote. Many different ways. Why? Because different people learn in different ways. And you got to remember, back in that time, most people were illiterate. They couldn't read. So they had to hear, But they use visuals, and Jesus taught parables, and you can go on and on and on, all the ways that we learn. But if you sit there and you look in the bullet outline under that point, we learn by listening, auditory. Some people listen well. Some people, it's squirreled and they're gone. They don't even know what's going on. That's me. So I'm not the greatest listener sometimes. Some people learn by watching and reading. So you watch something or you read something. That's why I always use videos at some point to welcome us in, a bumper video, something to hone us in. Because for some people, that's really what they're going to hang on to and what they're going to remember because they saw it. So watching is important for some people. By talking. This is big time for most of us when we sit and talk this stuff out. This is why small groups are so important. The Zoom group that started, the Elephant group that I encourage all of you to be a part of. And you don't have to come every week, just come on when you want. But it's on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. And you just chime in, there's different people leading. And who knows what we're going to cover that day. We could be covering the backstory of a hymn. We could be talking about a book. We could be talking about a scripture, a topic. All kinds of stuff that we go through. And it's short, it's half hour, whatever. But what happens there is you dialogue. You have conversation and you talk things out. And for a lot of people that's been on that since COVID, it's really helped them to express their faith. Because sometimes just talking it out, expressing it, is what you need to do to really engage what you're talking about. You hear it, you see it, but when you really start trying to articulate it, it makes a big difference in your life. And then lastly, the physical, the kinetic piece of this is you do it. You live it together. In mission, Micah 6:8, doing Micah 6:8 projects, serving here, going there, doing this, by engaging. And I really believe, with all my heart, that we were never really meant to know God intellectually at a real intellectual level. We're to know God through experience, by actually doing this stuff, by actually trying to live a Jesus-centered life out there in the community, engaging with each other here, but of course out in the community serving. It's that exchange that I really start to experience what Jesus teaches us and what they're trying to get us to understand. So it's important to do that. Job 33:14 says, and I quote, God speaks in different ways and we don't always recognize his voice. Amen? Think about that. I mean, so you can learn by watching a movie. You can read a book. You can read a story. You can talk to a friend. You can be on an Elephant Zoom call. You could be listening to the radio, Joy FM, while you're going on the radio, or 91.5. And it may not even be a secular piece of material. It may not even be necessarily a Christian or a religious piece, but it could be something very secular that just teaches you something, that God speaks to you. And, or you're watching a movie, and it's like, it just hammers you. And that's, if we're open and we're teachable and we're humble, God's always present, always can reach us in a lot of different ways. And so, just really, really important. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. In John 13:17, you see it there in your scripture, says, now that you know these things, you're blessed if you practice them. So we give you the knowledge, but I can memorize a Betty Crocker cake mix. But if I never turn on the oven or get out the mixing bowl or nothing, and I'm not eating cake, I'm going to be stuck eating our donuts here. I'm not going to have any cake myself. You got to put this stuff into motion. And so developing habits to do that. That's why 40 days is always an important thing. That's why Saddleback uses 40 days to do any of their campaigns. Because if you really practice it for 4 days, 6 weeks of doing it, it's going to start to become a habit for you. You're going to get ingrained. If you're reading the Word of God every day, you're praying and meditating, or if you're engaged in a small group, after about 6 weeks, it becomes something you expect to do. You wouldn't do no more without it than you would sunshine or food or anything else, because it's become part of who you are. But if it's just hit and miss, it's easy not to do. And so getting in the habit is really, really important. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. To know when we know it's Jesus-centered and when it's from the world system. When it's secular or it's godly. However you want to frame that language. That you can have a sixth sense if you want. If you want to call it that, a sixth sense. You remember that movie, Sixth Sense, was Bruce Willis and somebody, I forget the young actor's name, he's all grown up now. But what was the big line in that? I see dead people. He saw something that nobody else saw. That's the sixth sense I'm talking about. That you can start to see God's fingerprints on things in your life. really, really important. Paul writes it this way in 1 Corinthians 9:25. All good athletes train hard and practice to get better. And they do it to win a prize that won't last. But we practice to win a prize that will last forever. Amen. That's your salvation. That's just, we're working out. You hear me say it all the time. Salvation is past, present, and future. It's always in motion. We're growing all the time. We want to be growing going forward. And green things grow, so we got to remain green. And this is how you do it, what we're talking about today. So habit of coming to church. It's easy not to do, especially during COVID. If you read the statistics I see, how many people have fell off coming to church since COVID, it would blow your mind. It's a big number. And they haven't come back. They have not come back. Some of them got really comfortable in their PJs just watching their favorite superstar mega pastor on TV or watching their live stream from church or whatever, but they're not here. And then they delude themselves, I think the enemy does this, is that this is a good, efficient replacement. But what you can't, and you know this from being here this morning, what you cannot replace by being here is the kinetic energy in the room. You know, it's like watching the Rolling Stones on a video versus going and seeing them in concert. Big difference. It's the same thing with coming to church. You got to be in church as much as possible. Just for that kinetic energy. Just for that communication. Just to look in the eyes of your brothers and sisters. To give them a hug. To give them a high five. To whatever. Really important. To be in a small group. And this is hard to do if you've been walking in a casual. You come to church on Sunday. Do some service projects. But you really haven't been engaged in a small group ministry. I can promise you, you're missing the boat. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your maturity is as far as a Christian. If you're not in a small group, you're missing the boat. It will make a huge difference in how your life turns out. Sometimes it's going to be the most spiritual thing. Often it will be the most spiritual thing you do in a week by meeting with your brothers and sisters in that small group. Just the accountability, the encouragement, the motivation, the inspiration, all the stuff that comes from that small group meeting. And so this 40 days of Word study is a great way to get into that habit. And there's variations. You can meet biweekly, you can meet once a month, you know, going forward. But just having a place to call home, 6, 8, 10 people, no more, in a small group, going through God's Word, studying God's Word, inspiring each other, breaking bread together, doing community together, is so important. And it's easy not to do in the big busyness of life. Habit of daily time alone with God. Anytime you read Jesus, very prophetic. Jesus was definitely a prophet. But if you study Jesus' life, almost every time he went off to pray, he'd go off by himself to be with the Father alone. Every time, almost, he would go off and pray by himself. And so what we do in private, what you do when nobody else is looking, you hear me say it before, I'll say it a million times. It's the greatest of measure where you're at spiritually. What are you doing when nobody else is watching? You know that just really should give you a sign of where you're at. Are you living for your own self-interest? Are you living for self-propulsion? Are you truly trying to live a Jesus-centered life? And so spending time with God alone is important. And in the habit of memorizing God's Word is important. In Acts 2:46-47, it says, every day the believers had the habit of meeting together in the temple courts to worship together and also in their homes for fellowship. They ate together and celebrated with happy and thankful hearts. And you see that they did this on a regular basis. They praised God and the whole community liked what they saw in these people. As a result, the Lord added to their groups daily as their neighbors were being saved. And friends, there's a lot of people who come to faith who won't walk in this door, but they'll come to your small group. They'll come and hang out at your house and meet some new people, and they'll do that. They may even come to the men's Bible study or the women's group, but they're not going to come here, maybe not yet, for whatever reason, for their own phobias, their isms, their resentments, their twisted perception, their delusion, whatever. There's reasons why they won't. Joshua 1:8 says this, always remember what is written in the book. Read it and think about it every day and be sure to obey everything written in it. If you do this, you will be prosperous and successful in your life. That's a huge promise to all of us on what we need to be doing in our life. Number four, we grow when we help each other grow. In Romans 1, verse 12, it says this, and I quote, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. God doesn't bring two people together to only bless one of them. So when we're together doing God stuff, spiritual stuff, Jesus-centered stuff, we're both blessed by it every single time. It may seem lopsided. You may have people go, man, I really appreciate you. But I promise you that you are as blessed as they are by going on this journey together, by walking shoulder to shoulder together. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. So even back in this day, 2,000 years ago, people were starting to drift. They didn't have any of the technology and the stuff we do. But it's easy to get astray. It's easy to get lost in the process. So what's the action step? Join a small group. Join us on Thursday nights on Zoom, if that works for you. Start your own Zoom group. Join the Judy and the team here on when they start their group, or get with me and I'll help you get the resources. And it's not hard to lead a small group, especially in a growth campaign, because it comes with a kit. You got a DVD, Rick Warren, doing the teaching for 15 or 20 minutes. Then the rest of it's just sharing the questions. That's it. And you close out in prayer or whatever else your group decides to do. You may decide to break bread. Maybe not. Maybe just have appetizers. Maybe you don't do nothing. Maybe you have dessert. But you figure it out. But even like you got to be some scholar to lead a small group. You open up your house. You get a DVD player and a big screen TV. Boom, you're ready to rock. But just, or use the Zoom platform, which is great because you can share the screen. You can do a lot of awesome stuff there. Lots of resources. But join a small group. Really, really important. Number five, we grow when we expect to grow. Jesus said, listen to this, Matthew 9:29, according to your faith will be done to you. According to your faith. You grow when you want to grow. And I get this question, I've had this question many times throughout my own Christian walk. Why do, and even Paul says it, why do I continue to do the things I don't want to do and the things I do want to do I don't do? But we grow when we expect to grow. When I'm intentional about my commitment to follow Jesus, knowing that it's going to be hard, knowing that it's going to be friction, maybe even inside my own family to really live a Jesus-centered life, but despite that, I want to grow. I want to continue to grow as much like Christ as I can. Then I'll grow, and I'll do the necessary things. I will hear, I will read, I will study, I will memorize, I will meditate, and I will do my best to apply it, and I'll never do it perfect, but I'll be committed to that. So we grow when we want to grow. Really, really important. Great promise here. We grow when we commit to grow. And again, it's a commitment. It's making a commitment. Jeremiah 29:13. Great promise. You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. That's when you'll get it. There's a story, I don't even know if it's a true story, but it's a story about Socrates. Socrates, a great philosopher, very well respected in his day, Greek times. And a pupil, somebody who admired Socrates, admired his wisdom, admired his walk, one day said, Socrates, what do I got to do to be like you? To think the way you think, to act the way you think, to pursue the things you pursue. What do I got to do? Socrates says, come to me down here by the water. And he says, let's get in the water together. And they get in the water. And he says, let's go out a little deeper. And they get out a little deeper. And eventually Socrates shoves his head underneath the water and holds him there. To the guy he's fighting for his life, basically. And just before he's about to inhale some water or possibly drown, he lets him out. And the guy's flabbergasted. He's scared. He's flabbergasted. He looks at Socrates. What are you doing? He says, when you want what I got as bad as you wanted to live and breathe, then you can have it. But until then, you'll just be pie in the sky and wishy-washy. And, you know, you'll lust for God's blessing. You'll want these things, but you're not willing to really come all the way in, sit all the way down, and stay and commit to what it's going to take to grow in likeness in Christ. So how committed are you? Well, your actions validate that. And so that's something all of us have to wrestle with, is that. And lastly, you know, the action step behind that is a covenant with other people. And what is a covenant? It's a commitment. You make a commitment as a member of the church. Many of you have grown up in the church since you were a little kid. You came right in, got baptized, went to Sunday school, and then you went and you got confirmed, and you just stayed. Went active in youth group, went off to college, maybe did campus crusades or Christian athletes or whatever. And you really never wavered in that. You just kind of always been on this journey. Some of you, that's your story. Some of you came to Christ late in life. Some of you were around but not really committed. You didn't really make that covenant to be a Christian. You just kind of went through the motions. Maybe you were a creaster, somebody who just came on Christmas and Easter. They call those creasters. Maybe that was your case. You show up, you check a box. But you really didn't make that covenant, that real commitment, that commitment to be here, to be accountable, to inspire, to go out of our way to love one another. Nehemiah 9:3-8 says this, "In view of all this, we are making a covenant together in writing and all of us signing our name to it." End quote. And in this last scripture we have here in your outline, our greatest wish and prayer is that you will become mature Christians. We're getting ready to start our confirmation. We haven't had confirmation since COVID. I'm not even sure when everybody, when this context really even did confirmation before. But we're getting ready to go on that journey. We got somewhere between 6 and 10 kids. I'm not sure how it's going to settle out, but we got a good little group. We're going to have a lot of fun for about 7 weeks. And what we're going to be doing at next week, or on the 5th of February, we'll be praying for our little people there. But today, we're going to pray for Lucy, who's going to be joining us on this confirmation trip. And she can't be there on the 5th because she's got some Disney on Ice thing. And I said, you want to go see Disney on Ice versus come to church? She goes, yeah, that's really what I want to do. But she didn't say that. But I'm going to invite Lucy to come up. You can, Mom can come up. Grandma can come up too. You guys come up. But we're going to pray over her. And I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands on her. But we're going to pray because she's making a commitment to follow Christ. And here's the reality with this kid. If you know this kid, she'll teach you a lot about life. She's got a spirit mightier than I'll ever have at this young age. So far advanced from where I was at this age. Even Lila was back there, same way. Man, I was just a complete knucklehead when I was their age. And these kids are just in it. And they love life, and they love their parents, and they respect their parents and respect their elders. So hats off to the parents and grandparents who are raising these kids. It's awesome. It's beautiful. But she's making a commitment to follow Christ. And that's what confirmation is. It's a covenant. You're making a covenant. You're making confirming. You're becoming a member of the church as an adult, as a young adult going into it. And we know sometimes we just put too much emphasis, like it's the cast me out with baptism and confirmation, because we know that life's going to hit us, life on life's terms, and we're going to be tested throughout our life when we go away to school, especially. So we know her and Lila and others are going to have big challenges as they mature, as they develop as teenagers and go into their walk through high school and into college. But where they're at right now, they're making this commitment. They want to follow Jesus. They want to live a Jesus-centered life. And so confirmation's helping them prepare to do that. And then they're going to stand up on Easter and they're going to make that commitment to you. And we're going to make that commitment to them to walk with them. But today we're going to pray for her as she prepares her heart, her mind, her soul to enter confirmation and go on this journey with us. We're going to have a lot of fun doing it, but she's going to learn a lot about herself, about Jesus, and what it means to live a Jesus-centered life. So with that, I'm going to ask you to put your hands and cover her in prayer, and we're going to pray for her today as she prepares herself. Lord, we thank you for this young lady who's awesome in so many ways. Beautiful heart, beautiful mind, beautiful smile, personality, humorous, go-getter, make-it-happen girl. We love everything about her. So we thank you for her life. We thank you for her demonstration, even for us as adults, to see how she carries herself at this stage of her life. It's inspirational, and it's motivating even for me. It's a great attraction to what life is about, even as a youth. So Lord, we just pray for her soul, her mind, her will, and her emotions. As we know, anytime we try to follow Jesus or go deeper in the Word, that the enemy will try to distract us. Just the world system will pull on us to take our mind off of you and to put it on the world and stuff and boys and other things, music, iPods, all kinds of junk will come and try to get in the way of our walk. take a priority in our life. But Lord, we're praying that she can stay steadfast, that she can finish the race well. We know this is a big part of her beginning the race. And so, Lord, we just pray that your sovereign hand, your spirit be upon her in deep and effective ways. And we pray it boldly in your name. And all God's people here said, amen. All right, give it up for this little lady. She's going to rock it. Friends, we're going to get ready to sing a song. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to sing. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And I'm going to pray for us as we close out our message today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Saddleback. We thank you for Pastor Rick Warren and his team of people, hundreds of them, if not thousands, who helped put this growth campaign together. And so we're grateful for that and their efforts, their energy, and their resources. But we just pray that we can come all the way in and sit all the way down with this. That all of us are all over the place in our Christian walk on this journey. We got busy schedule, we have busy lives, we got habits, and some of them aren't really that great. Not necessarily doing harm, but they're not really a habit that's centered on your word, your way of life, your application. So Lord, we're praying whatever's in the way, that we can get it out of the way. That we can have enough humility and open-mindedness and willingness with ourselves to be able to just step away from it for the next 40 days, for the next 6 weeks as we take this journey to Easter and come all the way into this. Give us the courage to join a small group, start a small group, to break open your word every single day, to be in your word, to spend time alone with you, to meditate on your word, to engage with others, to be invitational, just fully committed to this journey, this grow campaign, so we can come out of this better than we started, is the ultimate goal, and really come here on Easter anew, just refreshed, revitalized, recommitted in a deeper, more effective way in our Christian walk. So Lord, we pray, and we pray it boldly in your Son's name, and all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hiltran United. Hiltran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hiltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hiltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.